आज
थैंक यू सो मच शाजिया जी, और 6 से 7 के दरमियान अभी कुछ हम स्पॉन्सर्स के पैगामात लेंगे, उसके फौरी बाद जनाब यूसुफ बदात साहब इमाम ऑफ इस्लामिक फाउंडेशन ऑफ टोरंटो हमारे साथ होंगे। 4166201778 हमारा फ़ोन नंबर है, 4166201778 हमारा फ़ोन नंबर है। आप कॉल करके जो भी आपके दिल में सवालात हैं, मेरा ख्याल है कि जनाब यूसुफ बदात साहब इस रमज़ान मुबारक के आखिरी सवाल जवाब के सिलसिले में आपके साथ होंगे। तो आपके पास कोई भी सवाल हो, यू आर मोस्ट वेलकम। 4166201778 हमारा फ़ोन नंबर है। और शाहजा जी, थैंक यू अगेन, कल आपसे मुलाकात होगी।
बिल्कुल जरूर जी, थैंक यू,
बहुत शुक्रिया आपका। स्पॉन्सर्स के पैगामात, विल बी राइट बैक।
डाइवोर्स या कस्टडी दी लड़ाई जिंदगी दी सब तो औखी लड़ाई हुंदी है, क्योंकि तुसी उस शख्स नाल लड़ रहे हुंदे हो जिस नाल तुहाडा घर परिवार ते तुहाडे बच्चे सांझे ने। उस वक्त कई सवाल उठते ने कि प्रॉपर्टी किस कोल जाएगी, कस्टडी किस नूं मिलेगी, ते जिंदगी दी सब तो प्यारी दौलत बच्चे किस कोल रहनगे।
SNS लॉयर्स को इन सारे सवालों दे जवाब ते तुहाडे हक ले लड़न वास्ते लियाकत है। अपने हक जानने ले या सलाह लैण ले आज ही SNS लॉयर्स नूं कॉल करो 416-655-2000।
हुकूमत एंटेरियो का ऐलान, हमारी एहतियातें और कोशिशें बेहतरी ला रही हैं। दरमियान में फासला और मेल मिलाप की दूरी, ये एहतियात कारगर साबित हुई है। इस वक्त लाजिम है हिम्मत नहीं हारनी, इस मुझी बीमारी को बढ़ने से रोकना है। अगर सफर बहुत जरूरी है, अपने और मुसाफिरों के दरमियान 2 मीटर का फासला रखें। अपने दोस्तों खानदान के अफराद और कम्यूनिटी को खतरे से बचाइए, साथ दीजिए। ज्यादा वक्त घर पे गुजारे, हिम्मत न हारे, मजबूत रहें, फर्ज निभाए। मालूम के लिए Ontario.ca/coronavirus. Ishtihar Munjanib, Hukumat Ontario.
A harsh but true reality is that clean drinking water is inaccessible to many people living in third world countries. With the support of our donors, Muslim Welfare Canada has been successful in providing clean water through the digging of water wells and the installation of hand pumps for people living in remote and desert regions. Donate a well for $2,500 or a hand pump for $800. Call 1-866-754-3111 or visit mwcanada.org.
आप कनाडा से पाकिस्तान पैसे भिजवाना चाहते हैं और वो भी फौरन जबरदस्त रेट्स के साथ और आराम से घर बैठे, आपको ये सब मिलेगा बगैर कॉम्प्रोमाइज के। अभी डाउनलोड कीजिए Zoom मनी ट्रांसफर ऐप फ्रॉम PayPal,
That's XOOM Zoom,
और अपने मोबाइल से पैसे भेजिए अमेजिंग एक्सचेंज रेट्स के साथ, बैंक डिपॉजिट्स, कैश पिकअप या मोबाइल रिचार्ज। अब पाकिस्तान पैसे भेजें उंगली के इशारे से। Zoom, a PayPal service, तेज आसान और महफूज मनी ट्रांसफर।
कहते हैं कि माया को खींचे माया कर कर लंबे हाथ, हैरी सॉन द मेजेस्टिक मॉर्गेजेस के साथ रेजिडेंशियल कमर्शियल मॉर्गेज रीफाइनेंसिंग आपने करनी है, किसी किस्म की इन्वेस्टमेंट प्रॉपर्टी लेनी है, सारे बैंकर्स और लेंडर्स के साथ डीप तल्लुक आते हैं इनके, आपको फाइनेंसिंग का बंदोबस्त भी हो जाएगा और चार्जेस भी कोई नहीं देने पड़ेंगे। हैरी सॉन जी बड़ी कमाल की तिकड़म लड़ा सकते हैं, बस आप कॉल कर लीजिए और पैसे का अरेंज हो जाएगा। $228 से $1,000 महीना कैसे बचा सकते हैं, कॉल हैरी सॉन Now 647-228-1000 Harry Sond of Majestic Mortgages.
Valia Traffic Legal Services se janab RS Valia.
Careless driving,
speeding ya phir accident,
fail to remain stop at the scene,
red lights ya phir seat belts,
permit drive without insurance,
racing, student driving ya phir caught while using phone,
speeding,
RS Valia aapki ticket se nijat dilwayenge aur aapke points bhi save karenge. 9054542112 4542112।
कर्जे से निजात के लिए एक ही नाम, मोहम्मद सिद्दीक, ऑल द सॉल्यूशन, पुरसकून जिंदगी और क्रेडिटर्स की कॉल से छुटकारा।
मोहम्मद सिद्दीक ऑल डेट सॉल्यूशन बैंकरप्सी इंसॉल्वेंसी कंसोलिडेशन करते हैं अप टू 80%। मोहम्मद सिद्दीक आपके लिए काम करते हैं, पुरसकून जिंदगी, अच्छी सेहत और लंबी उम्र की जामिन। अपनी जिंदगी को पुरसकून करने के लिए, कर्जों से पाक करने के लिए राबिता कीजिए मोहम्मद सिद्दीक 4166710577।
एशियन फूड सेंटर 905-793-1338। आपके किचन की तमाम जरूरियात एक ही छत तले, फ्रूट्स एंड वेजिटेबल्स, ग्रोसरीज एंड स्टेफल्स, ब्रेड डेयरी एंड एग, बेवरेज एंड कन्फेक्शनरी, ब्रांडेड फूड्स, पर्सनल केयर एंड हाउसहोल्ड, स्वीट्स एंड समोसास। ऑर्डर नाउ फॉर इन स्टोर फ्री पिकअप 905-793-1338. Home delivery is also available. Asian Food Center, 905-793-1338. Asian Food Center.
गाड़ी घर या कमर्शियल जैसा कि बिजनेस ट्रक्स डिलीवरी व्हीकल्स कार्गो वैन्स वर्कशॉप्स ग्रोसरी स्टोर्स रेस्टोरेंट्स की इंश्योरेंस के लिए वकार अजीम से राब्ता कीजिएगा। वकार अजीम यकीनी बनाएंगे कि कार घर या कमर्शियल इंश्योरेंस कम अज कम रेट पर लेकर दे मगर कवरेज आपको बेहतरीन से बेहतरीन मिले। यकीनन अपने पैसे और वक्त की बचत के लिए ईमानदार और रिलायबल सर्विस मोस्ट कॉम्पिटेटिव रेट्स के लिए वकार अजीम 416-302-2522
जी सामे कराम एंड नाजरीन कराम वेलकम बैक टू रेडियो साजो आवाज़ एंड ई आवाज़ टीवी यू आर वाचिंग एंड यू आर लिसनिंग। 6:05:21 हमारी घड़ियों में हो चुके हैं और जैसे एज आई प्रॉमिस्ड के हमारे साथ एंड इट्स डेफिनेटली बड़ा इंफॉर्मेटिव ये सेशन होता है एंड आई अप्रिशिएट कुछ लोगों ने पहले से मुझे यहाँ पर सवाल भेजे हैं जो सवाल आई एम गोना आस्क इमाम यूसुफ बताद साहब वेरी लर्नेड पर्सन इन आर कम्युनिटी एंड वी आर वेरी ऑनर्ड टू हैव अ पर्सन लाइक दैट ऑन आर रेडियो स्टेशन ऑन आर टीवी। पूरे रमजान मुबारक में हम इनके खुतबात भी सुन सकें और इसके साथ साथ इनकी बातें और इसके आपके सवाल और इनके जवाब। समय कराम 416-620-1778 हमारा फ़ोन नंबर है। अभी थोड़ी देर बाद आई एम गोइंग टू ओपन अप द लाइंस तो आपके जो भी सवाल हो आप यू आर मोस्ट वेलकम टू आस्क इमाम साहब द सवाल एंड यू नो व्हाट ही विल गिव यू हिज बेस्ट आंसर फॉर दैट। आई वांट टू वेलकम जनाब यूसुफ बदाद इमाम ऑफ इस्लामिक फाउंडेशन ऑफ टोरंटो। इमाम साहब अस्सलाम वालेकुम व रहमतुल्लाहि व बरकातहू।
Walaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, it's a pleasure to be on the line with you.
It is definitely an honor for us. Imam Sahab, please say a few words.
Yes, mashallah, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihi Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Respected audience, brothers, sisters, and whoever is listening, we know that we are now in the concluding moments and a few days left for the month of Ramadan. And whatever we can do in terms of good deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us all the rewards. And sometimes when things get to a finish line, we can dwindle down or just wait for the end. But we should be in the mood of being excited and doing whatever we can in terms of our worship and our good deeds, so that we end off really strong the blessed month of Ramadan with our good deeds, and Allah make everything easy for us. At the conclusion of Ramadan, we get a great celebration, and we call this Eid. Eid literally means something that keeps coming. It returns. Aada ya'udu awdan, which means to keep coming. So because Eid happens twice a year, and it comes every year, this is why one of the meanings of Eid is Eid itself, to come again and again. So on the in the verse of the Quran, when Allah describes the conclusion of Ramadan, Allah says, وَلِتُكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةَ وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, which basically means that it is incumbent to complete the days. So before the month of Ramadan ends, we don't celebrate Eid. We wait for the completion of the days of the month of Ramadan by the sighting of the moon. And then Allah says, once you completed the days, تُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ, say the takbir and acknowledge the greatness of Allah and appreciate the blessings of Allah. And that's why on the days of Eid, we usually repeat the takbir, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd, which again is the greatness of Allah and testifying that there's none worthy of worship except Him, and then acknowledging that all praise is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reason why we elevate and we exalt His name is that He is the one that gave us Ramadan. He is the one that promised forgiveness in the blessed month of Ramadan. He is the one that gave us this great celebration after a month of fasting and sacrifices and additional worship. And therefore, we rejoice and we are happy with Allah's blessings upon us, and we acknowledge His greatness. And obviously with the COVID-19 situation, we won't be able to gather. And for many of us, this is probably the first time we're doing Eid without the Eid prayer in the masjid or in large gatherings. So we will be performing Eid prayers in our own homes or individually in our homes with our families. And inshallah, we make the most of our situation and still express the joy and raise the spirit and do all the good we can with our families in our situation. And inshallah, it will be a great Eid al-Fitr as well. And an aspect that we have to remind ourselves about is about Sadaqatul al-Fitr, or we call it Zakatul al-Fitr, some people call it Fitrana. So it's important that we discharge this amount before Eid day. And the Prophet ﷺ describes it by saying that تُعْمَةً لِلْمَسَاكِينَ وَتُهْرَةً لِلْصِيَامِ. There's two objectives of the Sadaqatul al-Fitr. One is that it helps the poor. So this Sadaqatul al-Fitr amount, it goes to the poor, and the poor will enjoy the day of Eid as well. And the other reason is tuhratan lis-siyam, that if we've made any mistakes during the month of Ramadan, or we've not done the fasting properly, then by giving the Sadaqatul al-Fitr, it will take care of the deficiencies, and inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the rewards. So inshallah, we are concluding the month of Ramadan in a day or two, and we pray Allah accept everything from us. And as we know that Islamic Foundation of Toronto has made this program available, and we are appealing to everybody to help us meet our target at the Islamic Foundation of Toronto with your donations and your contributions. And we appreciate whoever has donated and has been generous up until now. And especially on our Khatam night, the fundraising night, a lot of brothers and sisters have contributed and supported. So we appreciate everybody's generosity. May Allah bless all of you and give you barakah and blessings. And inshallah, if you would like to continue to contribute, visit the website islamicfoundation.ca and give your contribution so that you attain the reward in the blessed month of Ramadan. Jazakallah khairan.
Thank you so much, Imam Saab. And I'll open the lines right now. And I have like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 questions. I have it right here that brothers and sisters who asked the questions. And I would encourage you to call. You're most welcome to text me the questions. But I would encourage you to call and ask in your own way whatever questions you need to ask. I have one brother or sister on the line. Ji, hello, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Ji, sir.
I have a couple of questions, but the first question is that, Imam, we are still divided in sightseeing the moon. Most of us, we go with the calculations, and there are a lot of them that they already have, you know, started Ramadan one day before or after. What would you say? Is it okay to go with the calculation or not?
What's your second question?
The second question is, in the daytime, you know, when we pray in the daytime in the masjid, for example, Zohar and Asr both, there is, you know, the imam is leading, but he is quiet. The qira is done quietly.
Mm-hmm.
As in the morning, early morning, morning prayers, and after the sunset, then it's said loudly that everybody can hear it.
Yeah.
Why not in the daytime? Why is so quiet in the daytime?
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. Thank you. Ji Imam Saab.
Yes, okay. So the brother had two questions. The first one was about the moon sighting. Mm-hmm. So I concur with the brother that we want to see unity, and we want all the masajid and all the different groups and all the different organizations celebrate Ramadan and Eid on the same days. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this happen. Unfortunately, we're living in a country where Muslims are in a minority. However, if we are in a Muslim country, then the decision is made by the government as to which day the Ramadan begins and the Eid starts, such as in Saudi Arabia. So when we're in Saudi Arabia, we can't have any opinion. It's whatever the ulama of Saudi Arabia and whatever the judge decides, and we accept it, we embrace it. So similarly, if we are, if we have one body or one organization that represents all the Muslims of Canada, then it will be much easier, but that is not the reality. And I also concur with you when it comes to calculations, it makes life easier. So there is indication, many scholars have said that the Prophet ﷺ, in a hadith, he said that when you see the moon begin Ramadan, when you see the moon end Ramadan, and then he said, فَإِنْ غُمَّ عَلَيْكُمْ, if it happens to be, if the moon happens to be obscured for you, that means it's ambiguous, it's not known, فَقْدُرُوا لَهُ, then he said, estimate it. And estimate it here can mean calculation. So if calculations will unite the ummah, then I believe it's best to go with calculations. But unfortunately, as we know the situation, there are a number of masajid that don't agree with calculations. But calculations will make life very easy, and it will unite the ummah. So inshallah, sooner or later, I forecast that our youth and the upcoming generations will take advantage of that, and inshallah they'll do a better job than us in uniting the communities. The second question was about Zuhr and Asr being silent prayers. So firstly, obviously we perform the prayers in accordance to how Allah and the Prophet ﷺ have taught us. So because the Prophet ﷺ, he did Zuhr and Asr silently, and he did Fajr, Maghrib and Isha loudly, that's the reason why we do it silent or audible. But what's the hikmah and what's the wisdom behind it? Only Allah knows the actual wisdom, but the ulama have written their views, and I will quote Sheikh Ashraf Ali Tanwi, rahimahullah, in his Ashraful Jawab, his book. He has a very nice book, it's called Ashraful Jawab, where people ask different questions and he gives the reply with hikmah and wisdom and insight. So when he talks about this topic and his subject, he says that when it's a loud prayer, that means outside is very quiet. And when it's a silent prayer, that means outside is very loud. And really, when we look at Fajr, everything is calm and quiet outside. So when we're praying, we energize our soul and we're reciting loudly, and that enhances our spirituality and our energy. When it comes to Maghrib and Isha, again, the night has come in, the darkness has set in, people are in their homes, so things are quiet. So now when we're praying, if we're still going to be quiet, then that energy won't be there. So we are now reading loudly the Maghrib and Isha so that we are energized with that spirituality. In Dhuhr and Asr, usually everything's a hustle bustle outside. People are at work, people are at school, people are busy doing their things and their activities. So things are loud in our situations outside. So when it's time to pray, it's a silent prayer. So we are calm and we are now in a mood of spirituality to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is amongst the wisdom that has been written by some of the ulama and the scholars. But primarily we do it the way Allah and the Prophet ﷺ have taught us. Jazakumullah khairan.
سلام کرام ناظرین کرام, یہ اسپیشل ٹرانسمیشن ہماری رمضان المبارک کی, یہ اسپانسرڈ بائی اسلامک فاؤنڈیشن آف ٹورانٹو. وی تھینک اسلامک فاؤنڈیشن آف ٹورانٹو بیکاز آف یو دے آر سو مینی پیپل آر لرننگ سو مچ اباؤٹ آر دین. دیر از نو کوشچن وچ از آئی وڈنٹ سے دیٹ ورڈ, بٹ یو کین آسک اینی کوشچن. Any question that you have in your mind, you can ask. 416-620-1778 is our phone number. اور سب ڈونیشن کا جہاں تک تعلق ہے, میں آپ کو دو نمبر دیے دیتا ہوں. اسلامک فاؤنڈیشن آف ٹورانٹو کو آپ کی سخت ضرورت ہے کہ آپ ڈونیٹ کیجیے. اٹس ناٹ اونلی بیکاز آف رمضان, تھرو آؤٹ دا ایئر دے پرفارم سو مینی ڈفرنٹ پروگرامس وچ از گڈ فار اس اینڈ آر کڈز اینڈ کڈز اینڈ کڈز. 647-468-3040 is one number, and the second number is 416-988-1339 416-988-1339. These are two numbers that if you would like to donate, whether it is fitrana, whether it is zakat, whether it is khairat and sadqa, or simple donation, doesn't matter what, you just have to say it. This is my intention is that this is my zakat, or my intention is this is my sadaqah, or whatever it is, on your name, on your parents' name who are deceased, on their name, please donate. Doesn't matter what, just donate. Islamic Foundation of Toronto. I have a couple of callers. I'm going to take some calls. Ji, hello, assalamu alaikum.
Ji, wa alaikum salam.
Ji, sir.
Sir, just out of curiosity, is there any record of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam calling azan in his lifetime? I'm just curious. Thank you.
Okay. Mashallah.
Okay, so
yes, Imam sir. Yes, Imam sir.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm hearing a buzzing sound at the on the line.
Okay. Okay. Go ahead. You go ahead. Everything is okay here on this side.
Okay. So when it comes to the adhan, there are a number of reports that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were instructed by the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, to call out the adhan. But to my knowledge, there is no report of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, himself calling the adhan.
Good, sir. Next question. Next question. Ji, assalamu alaikum.
Ji, wa alaikum assalam.
Ji, sir, apna radio band kare. Haan, ji.
Wa alaikum assalam. Man, I'm the same guy. I asked you a couple of questions.
Okay.
I've heard that few, in fact, a lot of imams from Pakistan, that when you stand for prayers, your pants or whatever you are wearing, your ankles should be visible. If they are not, if they are covered, they directly say that your namaz is not accepted. And I don't believe that personally, but what would Imam say that?
Bahut shukriya sir aapka. Bahut shukriya. Yes, Imam sir.
Yeah, it would be a very grave, strong statement if we say a person's salah is not accepted, because we are no one to judge. Only Allah accepts the prayer, and Allah is very merciful. But the reason why I guess some of the ulama are saying about the ankle, there is a hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, any garment that is below the ankle, it may result in entrance into the hellfire. And now, if we look at the history of this hadith and the context of this hadith, in the olden days, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to show pride and to show arrogance and to show that people are wealthy, they would make extended garments. So the sleeve would be so long that it would cover their hands. The garment at the bottom would be so long that it would drag on the floor. And then that would be a sign that this person is wealthy, this person has position, etc. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he talked about having garments, especially for males, up to the ankle, is that he was putting down this cultural practice that you shouldn't boast and you shouldn't waste your garments. You know, what is needed, you put it to that extent, but then it should not unnecessarily out of arrogance be dragged and be extended. So that's why when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, we find a very authentic report, his garments was below his ankle. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Abu Bakr doesn't do it out of pride. So what we learn from this is that it's not so severe that it would block salah from being accepted. It's just the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's main message, to my understanding, is that he was telling us to not be boastful, not be wasteful, and not be arrogant. But salah, my view and many other ulama and my teachers, they do agree that salah is not questioned. If all the tenets of salah are performed, then definitely your salah is accepted. And if a person wears their garments out of arrogance, it would be considered makruh, disliked, but not forbidden in the sense that there's no acceptance of prayer.
416-620-1778. 416-620-1778 is our phone number. You can ask questions to Imam Yusuf Badat. Imam Saab, there's a question a brother asked that I'm from Pakistan and I have seen people in the masajid reading sunnah and nawafil sitting down. What's your view about praying sitting down?
Yeah, so when it comes to fard prayers, mandatory prayers, it is not permissible to sit down and pray unless a person has a disability or an injury or they're unable to stand. But when it comes to the nafil and the sunnah prayers, there is authentic reports. There are narrations that the Prophet ﷺ at occasions, he performed sunnah or nafil sitting down, and that is allowed. There's flexibility, especially in nafil prayers, optional prayers. There's a lot of flexibility, and therefore a person can sit down and pray, even though they have the ability to stand and pray. But the ruling is they will only get reduced rewards, half the rewards, if they're able to stand. But yes, it is permissible. But fard the prayers, one must stand and pray.
So even if somebody can't pray standing up and they sit down and pray, still they're going to get reduced reward?
No, if a person has an injury or they have a disability, they're sick, etc., then in that situation, because of the impediment, they are permitted to sit down. So then they won't get half, they will get full rewards. I'm talking about when a person doesn't have the any excuse and they're still sitting down and praying.
Okay. Next question. Ji, hello, assalamu alaikum.
Ji, assalamu alaikum.
Ji, wa alaikum assalam.
Ji, my question, I have a question on behalf of my wife. Mm-hmm. You know that the women cannot fast on their special days.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
If someone have it, like, say, a backlog of the few years, and but she have intention to complete that, she will do all those fasts. But she's not sure that she will live long, that she can do that. Can she do a fidya as well? But as well, she will try to complete their fast as well.
It's a great question. So a sister or a woman who is in her menses, she is not to be fasting, but then she must make up those fasts later on. And what I generally advise sisters that... before the next Ramadan, complete the previous Ramadan's fasting so that it doesn't pile up. But sometimes situations come about and a person doesn't do the fast before the next Ramadan, so they begin to pile up and they become to be increased. So the ruling is that they must make it up. They should make up the fast by fasting. However, Imam Shafi and many others, they say that they can give fidya and try their best to make up those fasts, and perchance if they happen to pass away, then the fidya will compensate for the missed fast. But the goal should be by fasting make up the missed fast, not necessarily by fidya. But as a precaution, they can do both, meaning give fidya, and in case they don't live that long, or in case something happens where they become weak and they're unable to do so, then the fidya will compensate for it, inshallah.
Next caller, ji, hello, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Ji,
mera sawal ye hai ki either the Salatul Eid is wajib or nafil or sunnat and can be prayed in the home, and I just forget that either those three takbir in first rakah, it will be in the initial or after the qiyam.
Thank you so much. Okay. This question has been asked for another brother, so it's good that you asked this question. So, you know, Imam Saab would satisfy both the brothers.
Yeah. Inshallah. Okay, so when it comes to the Eid prayer, according to the Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, the Hanbali fiqh, they say it's fard kifaya. According to Imam Abu Hanifa, it's wajib. And according to Imam al-Shafi and Imam Malik, it's sunnah mu'akkada. So basically, it's emphasized. Some scholars say it's almost like fard, and some say it's sunnah mu'akkada, which means it's an emphasized prophetic practice. Can we pray Eid at home? Yes, we can. According to the three groups of scholars, the Maliki, the Shafi, and the Hanbali, they say that Eid prayer can be done individually as well as in a congregation at home. And the Hanafi fiqh, they have this stipulation. If there are four male adults, then only you could do it in congregation. So the third question was that when is the takbir?
Okay, let me stop you for one second here.
Yes.
So according to Hanafi, you have to have four male present?
Yes, correct.
So if there is one or two male and two female, so you cannot perform Eid Salah?
Not congregation, no.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, and the last question about Eid was the takbirs. So there's so many narrations about how to perform Eid Salah. The reason being is that the Sahaba, they report that in some of the Eid prayers, the Prophet ﷺ did seven takbirs, in others he did eight takbirs, in others he did 14 takbirs. And then when he did the takbirs, at the beginning of the rak'ah, at the end of the rak'ah. But the Hanafi view is, what the brother was asking about. So at the first rak'ah, the takbirs are right at the beginning, three takbirs. And then in the second rak'ah, the takbirs are after the recitation, just before we go into ruku'. So three takbirs at the end of recitation in the second rak'ah, and then go into ruku. So that would total six takbirs. And by the way, on the Islamic Foundation YouTube channel, I've done a step-by-step procedure. It's a five-minute video, and I've done a step-by-step procedure on how to perform Eid Salah in your home. So if you want to look at that, all your listeners can look at that, inshallah. That the YouTube channel is youtube.com/IslamicFoundationCA, and then you'll find the video there where I'm demonstrating step-by-step how to perform Eid Salah at home.
Next question, ji. Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Ji, mera sawal hai ki, pehla sawal to hai ki kya hum masjid mein jo madaris hain, unko hum zakat de sakte hain? اور اسی سے لنک دوسری بات یہ ہے کہ ہم جیسے مختلف اداروں کو اگر زکات دیتے ہیں فار ایگزامپل ہاسپٹلس یا مساجد ہیں مساجد کے مدرسوں کے لیے تو پھر اگر ہم یہ دے دیتے ہیں تو ہمیں یہ بھی پتا ہے کہ سید کے اوپر زکات واجب نہیں ہے تو ہمیں یہ نہیں اطمینان آتا کہ ہم زکات دے رہے ہیں تو ہمیں یہ نہیں پتا کہ جو ہسپتال میں مریض آ رہا ہے کیا وہ سید ہے یا نہیں ہے یا جو مدرسے میں اسٹوڈنٹ پڑھ رہا ہے وہ سید ہے یا نہیں ہے تو یہ بہت کنفیوژن ہے جبکہ ہم چاہتے ہیں کہ کچھ مساجد میں جو مدرسے ہیں انہیں دے دی جائے یا ہاسپٹلس کو تو اس کے لیے کوئی اگر کوئی اطمینان بخش جواب دے سکے
بہت شکریہ جی
اوکے سو وین اٹ کمز ٹو زکات زکات از ناٹ الاؤڈ ٹو بی گیون ٹو انسٹیٹیوشنز فار کنسٹرکشن اور فار آپریشنز آف بلڈنگز اینڈ اسٹرکچرز the reason being is that zakat is given to human beings, not for buildings. Another aspect is that zakat, if it's given to structures, then the humans will be deprived. And some of these facilities are used by both wealthy as well as poor individuals. So that being said, to answer your question, when it comes to zakat, if you are giving it to an institution that has taken the responsibility to distribute the zakat, then the onus is on the institution. So what I mean here is that if I give zakat to a masjid, like the brother, like the sister said, that to spend on an orphanage or a madrasa where there are poor students, then the masjid administration is responsible to ensure that the zakat is given for the fees of the children that are poor, and they should know the rules about sayyid and about the relatives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another thing is that some ulama say the onus is on the giver. So before we give our zakat, we need to make sure that this is a trusted organization. They will follow the rules. They have ulama on board that will guide them. So if we have done our part and we trust the organization, then inshallah the obligation is fulfilled. However, if we're going to blindly give our zakat without doing the balance and checks or without figuring out whether the rules are being followed, then we will be accountable. And if it's not distributed properly, then we will also be responsible.
The next question is, hello, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Ji.
My question is that, is mortgage haram? Because we live in Canada, and unless you have that kind of money, you can't just buy a house and then with mortgage comes interest, and then interest is haram. So how do you go on avoiding that? Can you even do that?
Thank you so much. Thank you.
No problem.
Yes, Imam Saab.
Yeah, so I understand the frustration of the sister, that there are many brothers and sisters who are trying to purchase a home or trying to, have a property, or they have purchased the property, and it's usually through the mortgage system, which is interest-based and riba-based. So we understand the dilemma. But again, we can never change the Quran. The Quran says that riba is forbidden. It's not allowed, and therefore the rule remains the same. What we need to do as a Muslim community is we need to come up with halal alternatives. And there are some Islamic financing organizations, and they meet the criteria of not providing a service that would be based on interest. Rather, it's musharaka, mudaraba. These are Islamic concepts of lending money, borrowing money, and also purchasing property and having a shared responsibility. So again, that when we adhere to the rules, there will be barakah and blessing, and we should provide alternatives. And when we provide alternatives, inshallah, it will be easy for the community. There is a fatwa from some scholars that in this part of the world, one home for residents, if there's no other way to acquire a home, then to get a mortgage-based riba is allowed if it's only one home for a personal residence. That is a fatwa. I may not agree with it, but it is a fatwa that the scholars have given for Muslims living in a minority in a country like Canada. So I hope that clarifies the matter, inshallah.
Next. Okay, brothers, there are so many callers. They were all waiting, and you can give me a call. 416-620-1778 is our phone number. Imam Saab, there is another text message here. Okay, before I go to the text message, there is a live call here. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, so the question is, can you make your du'as in ruku and sujood?
Yeah, okay. So when it comes to making du'as, it is preferred that we make du'a in our prayer, in our salah, but it should be from the prophetic du'as and the Quranic du'as. However, there are some opinions from amongst the ulama and the scholars that if it's nafil prayer, then we can also make dua in sujood and ruku in other languages as well. That is mentioned by the ulama and scholars. The Hanafi view is that only in Arabic, only Quranic duas and prophetic duas from the hadith. But there are other scholars, such as the Shafi fiqh, where they allow in sujood, in prostration, even in any other language. Because there's a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, the closest a person can be to Allah is in sujood, is in prostration. And then the Prophet ﷺ says, whatever you want to ask Allah, then seek it from Allah in that position. So based on that, there is a view that you can make dua and supplicate in your prayer in other languages. But the Hanafi view is that it should only be in Arabic, something that is prophetic, something that is in the Quran.
Okay. Next question. Ji, hello, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. My question is that, do you have to follow one of the imams, like Hanafi or any one of them specifically, or can you just follow the Quran and that should be like it?
Good question. Ji, thank you. Ji, Imam Saab.
Yeah, okay. So when we say following a school of thought, you're actually following the Quran. You're actually following the Hadith. And what this is that you have an expert who's interpreting the hadith and the Quran to us. So a simple example for this is that if you ask someone who doesn't know how to cook biryani, for example, and you ask the person, here's all the ingredients, and you know, make yourself a meal, make yourself the biryani. That person's going to find it difficult because they don't know how to put the ingredients together. They don't know what to do. They don't know how it's cooked. They don't know what steps to follow. Whereas you have another person who is an expert in cooking, and they know all the steps. They know all the ingredients, how to use them. And that person makes the meal or the biryani for us. Then, you know, it saves us so much trouble and so much unnecessary confusion. So that's the same idea here. Many of us, majority of us, don't know the Quran, don't know the Hadith and all the details and the intricate rulings and what the Prophet ﷺ said, when he said it, why he said it, to whom he said it, in what context he said it, what is the interpretation of the verse, what is the tafsir of the verse. The common folk doesn't know all these things. So these are all ingredients in order for us to know what to do. But when we give it to the expert, who spend their whole life in studying the Quran and the Hadith, and they know all the details, the backgrounds, etc., they know exactly how to provide us with the solution of our dilemma of what we need to practice. So it's a slippery slope. If we don't follow expert opinions and expert views of a particular school, it'll slippery slope in the sense that we're going to try and understand the Quran ourselves, whereas we don't really have that much understanding. And I don't mean that we can't access the Quran. We should read the translation, we should study, etc. But if we don't have advanced knowledge, then it's better to stick to a madhab, to a school, to an expert opinion, expert scholar, rather than pick and choose whatever is easy, whatever seems flexible, because then we're not really following the Quran and Hadith. We actually end up following our desires and our temptations. I'll give you a simple example to conclude this answer. Shafi'i fiqh, they say that when blood comes out, the wudu doesn't break. Hanafi fiqh, they say that when blood comes out, the wudu does break. So if I don't follow a particular fiqh, then I'm going to obviously choose what is easy. So we don't want to do that. We want to follow the Quran to the best of our ability through expert opinion. And just like a person doesn't become a scholar or an engineer or a doctor by reading the books themselves, they go to school, they go to university, and they learn from the expert, the professor, who spend years in teaching and learning the field. So in the same fashion, we shouldn't follow from our own understanding. If we don't have advanced knowledge, we should follow the expert opinion. If we don't, then it's a slippery slope. That's what I can say for that.
But sister's question was, do we have to follow one particular imam, one imam out of four imams, or we can pick and choose what you say?
It's better to stick to one. Because there's principles and there's a whole science behind each madhab. And if we're moving from one to another, then...
But they're all talking about the same Quran and same Sunnah, right?
Yes, but it's based on different principles. I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. We all have one family doctor. Mm-hmm. We don't keep switching our doctors. And when you switch doctors every other day or every other week, you have a headache or you have a sickness or you have this, and you keep moving to different doctors, they're all going to give you different views. They're going to give you different prescriptions. But we stick to one doctor because they've been dealing with us. They know our situation. They know our background. They know our history. And it becomes much better for us, for our development. Yes, if there's an emergency situation where the doctor is not available, then you have to go to another doctor. So same with the fiqh, that you stick to a one madhab, and you base your principles on that madhab. However, if there's an emergency situation where the ruling of that madhab cannot apply, then there's no doubt that you can choose another view from another madhab, another expert opinion, and you will be rewarded. I'll give you an example. The Shafi'i fiqh say that when we touch the opposite gender, wudu breaks. The Hanafi says, no, when you touch the opposite gender, wudu doesn't break. wudu only breaks if the nawaqidul wudu take place, meaning that if a person passes wind or a person vomits and those kind of things, a person goes to the washroom, then only wudu breaks, not just by touching the opposite gender. Now, in tawaf, when we're around the Kaaba and we're making tawaf and there's huge crowds, if we're going to apply the Shafi'i fiqh, we won't be able to even do one tawaf. Why? Because there's so much crowds there, we're bumping with one another and opposite gender as well. So the wudu is going to break every second. So we won't be able to complete the tawaf. So the Shafi'i fiqh, their ruling is they will follow the Hanafi opinion because of that dilemma and that situation. So when there's a need to, yes, we can follow another fiqh, another madhab. However, it's preferred to stick to one. Just like we have one family doctor, we stick to one. And only in needs of emergency, we go to another doctor. That would be the same logic and the same situation.
Quickly, we're going to take some calls because there are too many calls right now. Ji, Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Ji,
the question for Imam is, what would he say about having pictures?
About
in
what?
In your home. Different pictures, like for your kids and your husband or your
pictures,
wife.
Pictures, frames, pictures, yes.
Yes.
Yes,
there is a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, that any home that has animate objects or animate pictures, that home is deprived of the mercy, the angels of mercy. And what that means is that if these are displayed, so there's nothing wrong in having decent pictures, but do not display them on the walls. That's the Islamic instruction. If it's inanimate, if it's a picture of a tree or if it's a picture of a landscape, then it's fine. A waterfall, it's fine. If there's ayat and verses, it's fine. But if it's an animate object, meaning something that is living, a picture of something that is living, a human being, an animal, etc., then according to this hadith, which is an authentic hadith, in that home, the angels of mercy do not enter. So have the photos of family and friends and loved ones, but don't display them in the home. Rather, you can tuck them away, you can put them away, and when you need to look at them, you can look at them, and then put them back away. You should cover them if you want the angels of mercy in the home.
Next question. Jihal, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. I have a question for the Imam. Like, I'm holding money in my account, and each year I am accumulating, like, adding money. So for zakat, am I supposed to pay the money which I'm holding every year, or the amount of money which I accumulated the whole year, like which I added this year, or the whole last 2-3 years I'm paying zakat every year, like say for 100,000 I added, I pay zakat for, but next year I added another 50,000. Am I supposed to pay 150 or the 50,000 which I added this year?
Good question.
Yeah. So the answer to your question is in the entire amount. In your example, 150,000. So if I'm giving zakat today, then whatever is in my account, I have to give zakat for that. So 2.5% of, in your example, 150. Not only what you made this year, but anything that's in your account, all your savings every year, you have to give zakat for that.
Okay. There's a question about Shawwal fasting. Could you explain Shawwal fasting for us?
Yeah. So when it comes to Shawwal fasting, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man sama Ramadana thumma atba'ahu sittan min Shawwal." Which basically means that any person who fasts in the month of Ramadan and then also fasts by following it up in the month of Shawwal, 6 days of fasting, they will get the reward of fasting for the entire year. And the principle is that when we do one good deed, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. They get the rewards of fasting for 10 times. So any good deed is multiplied by 10 minimum. So 30 days of Ramadan multiplied by 10, that equals 10 months. And then we fast for 6 days multiplied by 10, that's 60 days, that's 2 months. So we will get the reward of fasting for the entire year. Now the question is, when do we do the fasting? So obviously on Eid day, we cannot fast because it's haram to fast on Eid day. Eid day is a day of celebration. As the Prophet ﷺ said, هَذَا يَوْمُ أَكْلٍ وَشُرْبٍ وَذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. The Eid day is to eat and to enjoy the blessings of Allah and to make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So on Eid day, we cannot fast in Shawwal. But after Eid day, any day in Shawwal, we could fast for 6 days. And we will get this reward of fasting for the entire year. Some scholars say it should be together, all six. But most scholars say that is not required. It can be on any of the Shawwal days. As long as it's in the month of Shawwal, 6 days, any 6 days, you will get the reward of fasting for that virtue, inshallah.
Some brothers and sisters, they fast for the whole year. They fast Mondays and Wednesdays. For those people, do they get extra sawab or do they have to do extra Mondays and Wednesdays?
And so it's actually Mondays and Thursdays.
Mondays and Thursdays, so, yes. Sorry.
Yeah. So the sunnah is the Prophet ﷺ would fast every Monday and Thursday. So those brothers and sisters that are fasting Mondays and Thursdays in Shawwal, they will get the reward. They don't have to do it separately. They can stick to their habit of Mondays and Thursdays. And if it's 6 days, totaling 6 days in the month of Shawwal, they will get the reward of that, inshallah.
One more question. Ji, hello, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. Bhai, mera ek sawal hai, mujhe aksar pareshan karta hai.
Ji, ji.
Hame ye to pata hai ki hum jab jannat mein jayenge to sab apni young age mein aayenge, 11, 30 to 35, aisa kuch. Hadithon se pata hai. Lekin ek baat ye samajh nahi aati. انشاءاللہ ہم سب لوگ اللہ کرے ضرور جائیں تو اگر ہم وہاں جائیں گے جو سور پھونکا جائے گا اور پھر سب اٹھیں گے اور پھر سور اب پھونکا جائے گا اور دوبارہ اٹھیں گے تو مجھے یہ بات پریشان کرتی ہے کہ ہم تو ڈفرینٹ لینگویجز دنیا میں لوگ بولتے ہیں کوئی انگلش اردو وہ بھی بولی جاتی ہے تو وہاں کون سی لینگویج ہوگی اگر ہمیں وہ بات ان کی سمجھ ہی نہیں آئے گی کہ وہ کہیں گے آپ ادھر چلے جائیں میں بہت سوچتی ہوں کہ ہم تو ادھر ادھر ہی دیکھتے ہیں گے اول تو
بہت اچھا کوشچن ہے آپ کا بہت اچھا کوشچن ہے سسٹر بہت اچھا کوشچن ہے اینڈ آئی ایم گوئنگ ٹو آسک امام صاحب ٹو آنسر یور کوشچن اینڈ پلیز ڈونٹ وری اباؤٹ دس آئی نو دا آنسر بٹ آئی وڈ آسک امام صاحب ٹو گیو دی آنسر امام صاحب وڈ یو پلیز سیٹسفائی ہر
یس آف کورس سو الحمد للہ گریٹ کوشچن وی آل وانٹ ٹو گو ٹو جنہ سو وی آر وریڈ So may Allah make us amongst those who enter Jannah. So what will happen is that no matter what age a person is, on the Day of Judgment, when we enter Jannah, we will be 33 years old. And similarly, no matter what language we are speaking in this world, in Jannah, everybody will be speaking Arabic and everybody will understand Arabic and everybody will be experts in the language. This will be divinely done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there will be no problem in understanding everything that goes on in Jannah, inshallah.
So we all be speaking Arabic.
Yes.
We don't need to worry about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to teach us.
Yes, for sure.
Last question for the day, okay? Last question for... Ji, hello, assalamu alaikum.
And you are some myself Adijaz Karo.
Ji, Adijaz
sir. Sir, I have two questions. Actually, he's giving out like great information, and I'm really happy. I'm just confused the two things that he said. And he said that while we are giving out zakat, we should be following the rules, like, you know, about the Sayyid and stuff. I follow Hanafi Maslak, and as far as I recall, the only thing that we cannot give to Sayyid is sadaqah. I'm not sure about zakat. I just want to clarify that thing, that we cannot give zakat to a Sayyid. The second thing that he just said about, the mortgage. So I think, like, if we are following one maslak, and if there is a fatwa from another imam or from another maslak, we should not be following that just to make it easy for ourselves, as he said himself. So I think if we are following one maslak and that maslak says no, mortgage is haram, so then it's haram. Then we should not be considering the other maslak.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. He's got two questions and we got short of time. Ji, for my sir.
Okay. So very quickly to answer the question. So the ruling is that sadaqah and zakat cannot be given to a sayyid. anyone who's a genuine family member of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's lineage, they cannot be given a zakat and they cannot be given sadaqah. If we are to help them, we should give them gifts from our regular funds, not our zakat or sadaqah funds. The other question is, I agree with you, as I said in my presentation earlier, in the answer to the other question, is that it's better to stick to one madhab and one persuasion of fiqh rather than choose other other fiqhs. It's best to stay safe in our own madhab, and like you gave the example, you follow the Hanafi, so it's preferred you stay with the Hanafi madhab and the Hanafi ruling.
Just one more time, if you can explain. A brother of mine just walked into my office and he says, even though we talked about it, eat salah at home. Just quickly, if you can repeat that.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so eat salah can be performed at home. There are two views. One view is that we can do it individually, and another view is we can also do it in congregation. So the Hanafi view is there has to be four male adults. And if there are four male adults in the home, then for sure you could do it in a congregation. And if there are not four male adults, then you could do it individually just by performing two rak'ahs. No need for extra takbirs, no need for khutbah. But if you have four adults with you, then male, then you could do the congregation and you could do the formal Eid prayer with the additional six takbirat. And as I pointed out earlier, that I've done a step-by-step video to help brothers and sisters to perform Eid prayer. Just visit the Islamic Foundation YouTube channel, and you'll find the step-by-step procedure there, inshallah.
Do you do the takbirat till the Eid Salah or after Eid Salah too?
So takbirat starts from the time we are given the information that the moon has been sighted for Eid. So let's say on Friday, the moon is sighted, then as soon as we hear the news, we should start saying the takbir as much as possible. And then when we're heading towards the Eid prayer, obviously in the lockdown situation, we're not going to the masjid or anywhere. So until we do the Eid prayer, we say the takbir. After the Eid prayer, we can continue the takbir throughout the day. But by Maghrib, we should stop because the Eid day in Ramadan is one day. It's the first day, the Eid al-Fitr.
Jazakallahu khairan, Imam Saab, Imam of Islamic Foundation of Toronto, Janab Yusuf Badat Saab. It is a pleasure and honor, and of course, all of our listeners and viewers right now, there are so many calls right now, but unfortunately, I don't have time. So I thank you on behalf of all of them that you have given us so much knowledge. And I wish it is not only the month of Ramadan, it is throughout the year, once in a while, we will ask you to come on over and do these kind of sessions so that we have nothing but to learn from you. I thank you so much. You have 2 minutes, exactly 2 minutes, to say about Islamic Foundation and whatever you have to say, sir.
Yeah, okay. So, Jazakumullah Khairan, I really appreciate, calling me on and having me, and it would be a pleasure to come throughout the year whenever you call upon me so that we can benefit and I can serve the community at large. Yes, this is a program brought to you by Islamic Foundation of Toronto. So we really appreciate all of you brothers and sisters listening in, tuning in. And the appeal, our Ramadan appeal is going on as these last few days of Ramadan. So please contribute generously towards the Islamic Foundation of Toronto. It's one of the oldest masjids in Toronto, located in Scarborough. And if you visit the website, islamicfoundation.ca, you can give your contributions to help us continue our services, our programs, from educational programs to the funeral services, to interfaith programs, and obviously the maintenance and the bills for the upkeep of the masjid. This is the month of Ramadan, and the more we give, the more barakah and blessings we will have. And before we know it, Ramadan will be gone, and we don't want to lose this opportunity. So please do visit the website, islamicfoundation.ca, and give your contributions. I appreciate everybody once again tuning on and giving me the opportunity to serve you. I wish everybody an Eid Mubarak and a blessed conclusion of Ramadan. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you, Imam. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Imam sahab se humne aapki baatcheet karai, and I thank all of those people who ask questions. Hopefully, you got a satisfactory answers.